was a reporter in Russia and Ukraine for 15 years.
Oh, interesting.
Came back a year ago.
Wow.
So when they invaded Ukraine, I thought, oh boy, Taiwan is going to get it. Yeah, I mean, because China really looks at this as a big opportunity. The whole land grab in the South China Sea that China engineered, and America just stood by and said, oh, look, they're building islands, and they're not going to become like fortified fortresses, whatever. They took over an area the size of America, really, in the ocean. As a land grab, I would say. And how has that changed, like, this whole, like, strategic relationship with Taiwan? Now, really, they're kind of surrounded by this vast body of Chinese, like, warlike influence.
Well, of course, Taiwan still occupies, you know, one of the islands in the South China Sea, which is the largest natural island in its natural state. Ituaba in English, it's called Taiping in Chinese. But
now they have what, six or so, and they're all giant missile and aircraft bases.
Yeah, my friend and former colleague Greg Poling just came out with a book this week. We did an event at CSIS a few days ago. It's online. It's called On Dangerous Ground, and he tracks the whole history of what happened in the South China Sea from the very early days and how the different islands, you know, were occupied. But it's not, I would say, all over. Like, we haven't completely lost the South China Sea, but China's military developments are very significant. There's a debate as to whether in wartime they would be able to use that capability or whether we would just eliminate it in the first hours of the war. But it would still require a great deal of our military assets and munitions in order to take it out. But what's more relevant and threatening is what they can do in peacetime. So they can see anything that moves, any aircraft, any Navy ship that comes close.
Really, for like 1,000 miles.
They control the entire electronic spectrum, and they track and escort and shadow everything. So there was a...
Really? Are commercial planes still overflying them?
Yes. They very, very rarely interfere with commercial aircraft.
That must freak them out, having Chinese jets following them.
But the latest episode was one of the most dangerous yet, where an Australian aircraft was flying fairly close to one of these Chinese occupied islands. And the Chinese scrambled a fighter jet, and it positioned itself about 70 feet in front of the Australian aircraft, and it released chaff and flares that went into the engine of the Australian
P-3. That was a commercial thing. Was that an Orion?
It's a military. It's a P-3. It's a surveillance aircraft. And it was forced. It had to land.
Wow. Yeah.
But it was very dangerous.
I vaguely heard about that.
Very dangerous.
My Chinese, isn't it? I always thought that the booting Taiwan out of the UN was one of the great foreign policy injustices of my life, you know. But I think Putin really was waiting for Xi's agreement, you know, the alliance of aggressive dictator thing, before he did the invasion. But it doesn't seem China has really paid off. That they haven't really done much to help Russia, except, you know, do these massive gas purchases, and they got it out of steel, so it was a good deal for them too. You know, is that do you think like? That they just said, no, the cost would be too high with the rest of the world?
I think for China, I'm off the record, right? I think for China, they are also in a dilemma because they know they are also facing very strong pressure from democratic countries. And actually, China has had very good relationship with Ukraine. And I remember their first flag. It's actually made in Ukraine. So I think they also need to consider their relationship with Ukraine. But for Xi Jinping, he just cannot differentiate himself from Russia, because the two countries, their relationship went way back. And if there is any geopolitical conflicts in China, they do need the support from Russia. So he cannot afford to depart from Russia either. But I think so far we have not seen maybe clear evidence of their support to Russia. But in UN, when they have voting in Human Rights Council in the General Assembly, and they always, in some resolutions, they just veto the resolution proposed by Western countries. And so I think that also sent out a signal to the world, and it's not constructive for ending the war.
What's the biggest country that has relations with Taiwan, a formal diplomatic relations? I read 13.
No, I think 14. But
hello everyone,
Pacific
I'm sorry
Island
to
countries
interrupt
and Latin American countries.
We
only have one diplomatic ally in the
world.
Whoever can afford not getting any Chinese products.
Hello. Hi everyone, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yes, I'm keeping me see how it goes back
and forth. Thank you again for coming to our event.